This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal. Jamal.
All right.
Before we get started, I got to give a message of condolences to my people. The owner of this station, the great Antonio Goyes, passed away. And I'm going to be saying a few more words about that later on. Hello, Hartford. Hello, Hartford. I must comment on what a great day it is to be alive this Saturday morning. It's like a day when many good things are happening. Like a vaccine being distributed during a pandemic, or an incompetent person being impeached. You just know that days like this will get brighter. And that's what we expect here at the Jamal Show, especially now that we have a president boring hanging out at the White House. Nothing will ever get too exciting again. Now, there'll no longer be any tantrums, no cursing at reporters, no misspelled tweets supporting white supremacy. None of that. Instead, we look forward to the competent and, by the way, very unentertaining distribution of vaccine. And talk of unity, whatever that means. Unity is our word of the day. And speaking of the distribution of vaccine, I actually wish that I had something more entertaining to tell you. I wish I could entertain you by telling you that Trump is still in charge, and he was joking when he said there was a vaccine. See, I can get ratings that way. I can get some ratings with news like that. Donald Trump was a stand-up comedian in the White House, and those were the kind of jokes that he loved to tell the most. Jokes that made fun of human suffering and showed a disregard for people's lives. I'll give you an example. Remember when Trump said that COVID-19 tests were going to be done in the parking lots of Walmart and Target? Never happened. Remember when Trump said that Google was working on a COVID-19 website? Never happened. How very entertaining, right? It's like, why watch Kevin Hart when you can just look at the White House back when Trump was in there? In comparison to then, the news that I have now was much more truthful and boring. For example, you can now schedule yourself a vaccine shot on the Walgreens website. You need to know that, if your state rules allow for it, that is. Also, there's a new website called planyourvaccine.com. It's a very good website, very useful. Boring name, I give you that, planyourvaccine.com, boring name. But hey, it could actually help you, even if it's not mentioned in a reality show series. Using this new website, planyourvaccine.com, you can get a schedule to get vaccinated for COVID-19. In fact, there are actually a lot of new websites out there that can help you should you wish to stay alive. All you got to do is look. There's another operation I'm hearing about called Scheduling Angels on Facebook. And this, it goes to an app called Nextdoor, I believe. Scheduling Angels is an operation of volunteers that schedule vaccine shots for elderly people who can't navigate the internet well or who can't get to vaccine appointments very easily. Look them up if you're having some problems. You need the vaccine. That's definitely sure. And these sites are all over the place. People helping others to get vaccinated. It's like a unified movement of people to help other people. This deadly virus has now mutated into more worrisome strains. A movement of unity is what is needed. It is with unity that we get things done. Unity is our magic word for this broadcast. Please hang around as I tell you stories of unity that I think will move you because they move me. Know who talks about unity a lot? I'll tell you. In a very unfunny manner, by the way, may I say? You guessed it. Joe Biden. That's right, Joe Biden. He said many times, even during the campaign, that he has felt that his main calling was to bring the country together in unity. My friends, unity is the magic word of the day. And to be real, who can beef with that? Who's going to be like, unity? I don't want that. Nothing more positive than unity, right? Who's going to be the grinch that disavows the importance of unity in a country? But when I first heard Joe Biden use the word unity as a hot word for his campaign, I was troubled. I was troubled. I was troubled because unity is one of those words with a blurry meaning. It's a bit amorphous. It's easy for anybody to inject their own definition into the word unity. And these days, you really have to be specific when you talk so that people don't inject their own meaning into what you say. Thank God for coffee. Now, if you're around people who are disingenuous, who mean you no good, or who are not honest, they can manipulate your attempt at unity into something that only works in their favor, if you're not specific. Now, Biden's tried to be specific about what he means when he says unity. But honestly, I think he's off a little bit. He's tried to define unity as the absence of vitriol. Joe Biden thinks we are unified when we aren't screaming at each other. But to me, that's not unity. That's civility. Coronavirus. Civility and unity are two different things, my friends. They're two different things. I can be civil to a Klansman. Honestly, I can. I'm not trying to lose my law license for anybody. But a Klansman and I will never be united. We can be civil, but we'll never be united. Even on the things that we agree on. Like a Klansman like Donald Trump, for example, or his father was a Klansman. We'll never be united. But we will be civil to each other because of me. Like, for instance, we may agree that gravity does exist. We'll find things to agree on. Gravity exists, the earth is round, things like that. But we'll never be unified. Maybe Joseph Robinette Biden should have used the word civility instead of unity. At least the word civility cannot be misinterpreted easily. Now, I've thought about this all week long, and it's occurred to me that in order to have real unity with anybody, you really need two things. You need an agreement to unify from both sides, and you need a shared goal. Let me give you an example. If a bank robber comes to your house in unity with 20 cop cars behind him, you may find yourself reluctant to unify with that bank robber. You may find that you don't share any goals with that bank robber. You may let him in if he has a gun. And in fact, he may be very civil. The bank robber may be very civil. He may say something like, "Don't worry, I'm not going to kill you, sir." A violent bank robber, he may even call you mister. He may be like, "Excuse me, mister. I'm coming in with my gun so that you and I can be united in my stand against the cops. Thank you so much, sir." But if that happened to you, you wouldn't say that you were united with a bank robber, would you? And true to form, this is what we find Republicans doing. Republicans are the bank robbers. "Joe Biden wants unity," they say. They mock him. "Joe Biden wants unity? Well, why doesn't he unify with us and let Donald Trump get away without accountability, huh?" Republicans say, "If Biden wants unity, why doesn't he sign the legislation that we want him to sign?" That's unity to them. See? You see how they co-opted that? The Republicans are trying to define what unity is because Joe Biden didn't. And in fact, it was a bad word to choose for his purposes. What Joe Biden really meant was civility, not unity. And hey, don't call me the naysayer. I'm not the only naysayer who feels funny about the word unity in this time of our existence. Even Joe Biden's good friend was skeptical about Biden's pledge to pursue unity. I mean, we don't think Joe is stupid. We just think he's a little misguided on the issue. I'll tell you who the friend is. James Clyburn is a congressman from South Carolina, and he's probably the number one reason why Joe Biden won the primaries before beating Trump. The truth is, that Biden was losing the Democratic primaries badly. He actually lost to Pete Buttigieg before James Clyburn endorsed him. So James Clyburn is a close friend of Joe Biden. We know this. A close black friend who, like me, feels a little funny about the unity pledge that Joe Biden has made. This is what Clyburn said recently. Though I believe Biden's main goal is seeking common ground, the concept can also be warped and even dangerous. That's what James Clyburn said. He continued by saying this. I don't want to be unfair about this, but one of the reasons I don't like this unity argument is because I've been black all 80 years of my life and in the South. The South was unified against me. There was Southern unity for segregation. So you have to be relative about this. You can be unified and be inhuman. Unity to me is something we have to be careful about. That's how Congressman James Clyburn, the most powerful black male and politician in America, that's how he feels. What do you mean when you say unity? James Clyburn feels that we need to be specific about who we want to unite with. And I agree. I agree to that. We need to be as specific as the lead House impeachment manager, Jamie Raskin. How's that for a transition? That's called a transition, folks. Take notes. Now, Democrat Jamie Raskin is seeking unity with Senate Republicans in the holy quest to hold stand-up comedian Donald Trump accountable for his actions on January 6, 2021. It's like the Lord of the Rings. Jamie Raskin was the Democratic lead impeachment manager against Donald Trump, and he has our respect on the Jamal Show. Not because of who he is, but because of what he has been through and his deeds. Because a man can always change for the worse, but his deeds already done will never disappoint you. Representative Raskin is also in that infamous club along with myself, the club of people who have lost children. I lost my child to sudden infant death syndrome. Representative Raskin lost his oldest son, Tommy Raskin, to suicide on December 31st, 2020, the very last day of a horrific year. I shouldn't have to tell you that a child's death can be devastating to a family. Something like that can disrupt a family's unity. Unity is today's word. And the fact is that most families break up after losing a child. But still, Representative Jamie Raskin, a constitutional professor by trade, got back up after his tragedy just 2 months ago, under 2 months ago. Representative Jamie Raskin got back up and earned. What did he earn, folks? He earned his Jamal Show Award by being strong enough to tell stand-up comedian Donald Trump. Let me let the horns go down. Jamie Raskin earned his Jamal Show Award by being strong enough to tell stand-up comedian Trump that he wears no clothes. And while it's kind of comedic that Donald Trump is an imbecile, Trump still needs to be held accountable for when his crew of yahoos overruns our Capitol. And it just so happens that Representative Jamie Raskin, is the Yahoo accountability holder. He's the one that holds Yahoo's accountable, at least right now, if that makes sense. So Jamie Raskin is the Jamal Show Award Courage and Tenacity winner for this broadcast. Let me just give him some dap again. Thumbs up. This is how we do it in Ireland. Wright is an Irish name, I believe. All right. So Jamie Raskin, what do we know about him right quick? Let me tell you something right quick. Let me tell you about this guy. All right. He's low-key, you know. Please, ladies and gents, let me give you the Jamal Show winner, like, in his own words, actually. I'm not going to speak for him. I'll let him speak on his own. Because to be quite honest, I believe he speaks for all of us. In this first clip, Representative Jamie Raskin talks about his son. And I think that's really important to hear because that's what really motivates him. So I'm going to let him talk about his son right quick, if that's okay.
Tell us more about Tommy.
Tommy was a remarkable person. He had overwhelming love for humanity and for our country in his heart, and really for all the people of the world. We lost him on the very last day of that god-awful year, 2020, and he left us a note which said, please forgive me, my illness won today. Look after each other, the animals, and the global poor for me. All my love, Tommy. And that was the last act in a life that dazzled anybody who came into contact with Tommy.
Now, as the father of a son that was lost, there's no way I'm not going to play that part when he talks about his son. I did a suicide podcast once about a friend. That's still up. So I thought that testimony was important to hear. And in fact, I'd like to dedicate this show to Representative Raskin's son, Tommy Raskin. Sounds like the type of guy I would have liked to meet. And now's a good time to remind people who are considering suicide that there is a way out. And it just takes a call. The number for that call is 800-273-8255. That's the Suicide Prevention Hotline. All great people. I've met them all. Let's have some unity around this issue, you and I. If you're thinking about suicide, let's have some unity and call that number, 800-273-8255. If you're getting triggered by this episode, please call that number. I want to move on to the next clip. In this next clip, our hero for the day, Representative Jamie Raskin, tells us why he decided to be the lead Democratic House impeachment manager. I really think you should hear it. This is going to be clipped too, right quick.
These events are personal to me, Jake. There was an attack on our country. There's an attack on our people. There are thousands of people who work on Capitol Hill, not just members, but staff members and Capitol Hill police officers who were pushed and shoved and punched in the face, pummeled and hit over the head with fire extinguishers. And the President of the United States did nothing to stop it for more than 2 hours as members of Congress were calling him and begging him to do something. And he continued to watch it on TV and to enjoy their, you know, insurrection tailgate party where they were celebrating the attack on our democracy. This president has been impeached already twice, and we just want the Senate to conduct a serious trial where every member of the Senate lives up to his or her constitutional oath to render impartial judgment as a juror.
Man, did you hear that? That, my friends, is called passion. And you want a passionate attorney like that, like Jamie Raskin, who has been through things like the recent death of a child. The thing that's something that can make you fearless. As a man who's been through that, I can tell you that it either kills you or it strengthens you. You want a man like Jamie Raskin making your case for you against world-famous stand-up comedian Donald Trump. And Jamie Raskin did a damn good job. Now, Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin couldn't be here today to accept his award because he's too busy prosecuting Donald Trump. So, to be honest with you, I don't even want him here. He needs to be there. Wherever he is, he needs to be there. But I will accept this Jamal Show Award in his absence, and I won't let my ego get in the way this time. So how about I get into my chores now just to get the show a little warmed up? Welcome to Saturday, my friends. This is the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name is Jamal. I'm an information junkie, and I'm passing on the fruits of my illness to you, just like the coronavirus, but slightly more contagious. And you may laugh to death, so get some PPE. Who am I? I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford, Connecticut studios of WKND. And once again, I'm doing that live. The revolutioning will not be televised. That sounds bad. It will be broadcast on live radio and then placed on Amazon Music. And then I'm going to build a big security fence around the revolution so that rednecks can't storm it. Time to say hello to the bishop and my other guest in the studio with me now. The bishop is about to lead impeachment hearings against Donald Trump, but he had to preach a message of unity this week at this church. So they had to settle for Jamal Show Award winner Jamie Raskin. And Raskin is a great backup, let me tell you. Please allow me to remind you that we are broadcasting on Instagram live while on the air and Facebook Live. Try to do YouTube, but the internet's down. But the sound is best while using a live radio app for your phone wherever you go. Just look for the WKND 1480 AM sign. I promise you it will bring us all together as Americans in unity. Big shout out to my folks who are hearing impaired, even though you will never be able to hear it. Hear me. That's very important. Let us come together as Americans to enjoy an American Sign Language interpretation of this broadcast, because we need listeners any place we can get them, even if they cannot hear. Hey, I don't discriminate. I bet you can't name any other radio talk show host with an ASL interpreter. Can you? Jamal Show Executive Deborah is our permanent sign language interpreter for the show, and you won't hear anything like it, quite frankly. Shout out to my personal dentist, Dr. Alfonso Mack. He could not be here today to enlighten us. Why? Because he's an essential worker. He got the vaccine, and now the brother is off to see his mama. See how I used the word brother there? That's me showing unity with him, wherever he is. There's also a Jamal Show Facebook page that you should visit and like. On that page, we invite you to join our Think Tank email club. Brand new thing. Very excited about it. If you can stand and hear me talk for an hour, then you'll really like the emails we send you. And we will only send 24 a year. That's 2 a month, folks. That's it. You'll like it. Now, it's been about 2 weeks since you last heard my voice. You heard me talk about responsibility. I was responsible enough to show up for that show. Maybe I'll do the same next week or in the next 2 weeks. But that show went great. Go listen to it before you die. Definitely. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about unity. I want to bring us all together as a country. And how will I pull that off? Well, I'll always do it by scheming and planning on how to get you all more intelligent. And it's not at all easy to do that with some of you people wanting to debate the very nature of reality. No, it's not easy at all, but I persist. Here's some information for just $3, but you can send it to me later. The Jamal Show broadcasts live every 2 weeks on Saturdays, which is more than enough time for you to let some imbecile completely destroy the unity of your political party. If you haven't already, you can make us all smile by visiting thejamalstore.com. It makes big promises and it delivers even better than Amazon. So please support us, unify with us, and you will feel good about it. By the way, I am a Connecticut attorney, so put my email address in your pocket, because in case you get picked up by the U.S. Marshals, you want to call me. I can be found at jamalshowradio@gmail.com. Hello to my colleagues at the Connecticut Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, of which I'm a proud member. Please don't kick me out. I remind you that this broadcast will soon be up on every podcast network that ever existed since the time of the first Ice Age. Now, that's a lie, of course, but it's a lie that we intend to make true. So please help us by telling a friend about the Jamal Show. We're waiting for you. Lastly, but most importantly, please know that my views do not represent this station or of its recently passed away owner, Antonio Goyes. Nobody here is in unity with me, but if you wish to complain, and you will if I'm doing my job correctly, we do take direct phone calls live on the air, 860-218-2173. That's 860-218-2173. Nobody ever calls because apparently people have better things to do with their lives. But that's okay. Just let me fill in the blanks for you. I can fill in the blanks for them. Time for a break, kids. I know it. You know it. The bishop knows it. Deborah knows it. Dr. Mack knows it, wherever he is. The whole Jamal Show family knows it. So why don't you take this break with me and meet me on the other side of God. This is LNS. Is
what you think of that?
Yo, what's good?
What you think of that song? What you think?
Shit, all right, man. You got something better? Alright,
let's go.
I spend my time, and I cannot lie. I spend my time, spend my time. Said I gotta go up, live the latest way.
so I send out a cry.
Advertisers here. Hi, my name is Isaiah Washington, and I'm the founder and CEO of LettuceAvail.com. I created an online database to help up-and-coming entrepreneurs grow their customer base, as well as a space for consumers to find the next best thing. So if you're an entrepreneur looking to advertise your business to more consumers, try LettuceAvail.com today. You can create your own customizable ads for consumers all over the nation to see. And if you're a consumer, LettuceAvail.com has a diverse category of services. Whether you're looking for an event planner for your next event, maybe a band for your wedding, or even a preacher for your next service, LettuceAvail.com has what you need. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at LetuseAvail.com. It's time to avail.
I'm right here. I'm back, folks, for the white folks and the black folks. Elvis is back in the building. That song was called Spend My Time by this young new artist, someone named Ty Bless. I see him online right now. Ty Bless brought this artist to me. His name is the legendary LNS, and I'm a big fan, I got to tell you. This is actually the second song that we have been playing here on the station at WKND. So far, we think he's a fantastic artist, and we are hoping to have him call in soon. Mr. Manager, who I think is on the line right now watching us, I personally think he will be big. If you got good music, send it to me and I'll play it on WKND. If you don't have good music, keep it. It's that simple. So play by the rules, okay? Hit me at JamalShowRadio@gmail.com. After that LNS song, we had a word from our best sponsor of them all, LettuceAvail.com. LettuceAvail is a remarkable service run by a great creative team. It's a website that helps you monetize your hobbies or interests. So if you're a DJ or an event planner or a public speaker or a hairdresser or whatever you do, whatever it is you do, LettuceAvail helps you find the audience to do it with. Why not make a little money on your hobby or interest? Why not make a little money? Why not prosper? Why not avail yourself? Now, here's the scoop. I happen to know that LettuceAvail.com is about to come up with a phone app to help you get in front of new customers. So this is really the perfect time to put your profile up for free and see what you can make of yourself. That's letusavail.com. I had to say that.
Now, I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to have you back with us on the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent on WKND and on podcast. I am the listener assistant, the man on the couch, the leader of a mob of not-so-angry people, snow shoveler, cigar smoker, skirt chaser, no pork on my fork, strictly fish on my dish. I am Jamal. Thanks for being unified with me on this fine day. Unity is the theme of today's episode, and I must tell you, I love the people of Harlem where I grew up, but I am not, nor would I ever pretend to be, in unity with everybody in Harlem, even though it's my hometown. And that's based on experience. Believe it or not, not all of my experiences in Harlem, in my hometown, have been positive. In fact, Ty Bless is going to know this story really well. There were some downright humiliating times in my childhood. And it was done by other people, humiliating me in those circumstances. But I learned from all those situations, and they made me who I am. I can remember one in particular. And it's the first time, you know, I've ever talked about it on radio. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about it right now. Preparation, boy, that really helps. So, this happened back in the year 2001. God bless you, remember. Right before I applied to law school, I went to a party and started drinking with some of my old friends, including a few people I didn't recognize. The house party started getting rowdy, and I had enough to drink, so I left. I left in an elevator with a bunch of other people, and apparently I bumped into somebody or something else happened. I'm not sure what the situation was, but everything went cool for the elevator ride. But when I left the elevator, I left with a bunch of people, and I started walking across the street towards my grandmother's house, where I'd be staying for the evening. And I almost made it, almost. I wish I had made it. When I got in front of my grandmother's building, I heard people calling me from the building I had just left. I couldn't make out what they were saying, and my gut feeling was to keep walking home. But I didn't listen to my gut feeling. I went back to the building that the party was at. And I'm cloudy on the details when I went back. But the bottom line is, I remember getting sucker punched. I got jumped in the streets of Harlem by two dudes. And I was already a little bit drunk, so I fell to the ground quickly. I remember being kicked and punched on the ground. I remember there were two guys on me. Maybe three. I'll call the two guys Dude 1 and Dude 2. I'd seen them before. I knew who they were. And they obviously weren't in my friend circle. I guess you figured that part out before I told you. All of this happened right on 98th Street and Lexington Avenue in New York City, right in the middle of the projects which I grew up in. Some of my old friends saw it happen. I seemed helpless. It was pretty humiliating. And they were not done yet. See, when they were finished ganging up on me, I got up and started walking back towards my grandmother's house with catcalls and people laughing at me in the street. I got to tell you, these are the type of events that make for a perfect talk radio show host. You know what I'm saying? So I must thank my oppressors in retrospect. When I got in front of my grandmother's building, I pulled out my cell phone just to find a friend to call. And these guys appeared again. They asked me if I was calling the cops. I was dazed and I was confused, and I hadn't even thought about calling the cops, to be honest with you. Then they grabbed their belts as if they had guns and told me to walk upstairs. Walk up the steps to go upstairs instead of taking the elevator. I gotta put that part in. That was especially humiliating. The idea, I guess, was to give them time to get away before I could call the police, which I hadn't even thought about doing, quite frankly. But I remember how humiliating it was to do that. To climb the steps because I thought that they may very well have guns. And I just didn't want to get shot. I just wanted to survive the evening. Even after being humiliated. These were the type of people I could never really be in unity with. Because I had done nothing to them to deserve this. I don't need to utter their names. So I won't. But I did think about uttering their names. I'm going to lay low on that one for my own character. So that happened. And the very next morning, a young man by the name of Ty Bless somehow found my phone number, probably from when we were kids, And he called me to see how I was doing. I knew Ty Bless, but it was that day that I think we became close friends. And that's why you hear his music so much on my show. Because whoever in this world treats you well, you're back to them. Moving on. Strangely enough, I have no marks on my face the next day or body from getting jumped by two guys. But my ego was terribly hurt. To get jumped on your own block in Harlem is terribly embarrassing. You may as well let another guy put a dress on you as a dude in public. And I'm certain that there were people I grew up with listening to this broadcast who remember that day. I'm certain of that. But soon after that, I went to law school, overcame that obstacle. And my history on that block was soon forgotten. After law school, I went back to my grandmother's block from time to time. And I would see dude one and dude two, the two guys that jumped me years ago. I'd see them from time to time. And they had moved beyond it. They were like, hey, what's up, Jamal? They moved beyond it. What happened to me was just another night for them. But I had not moved beyond it. It happened so long ago, though, it seemed silly to hold grudges. So I just pretended to let it go. But you never really forget events like that that happened to you, do you? How could you? Soon after I got home from law school, I was looking out my grandmother's window, and I happened to see dude number one get shot in broad daylight. Got shot in the streets, right in front of me. And I seemed to be the only one that saw it. It was in broad daylight. I ran downstairs to peep the scene. He was screaming that he had gotten shot, and nobody believed him for some reason, except me. I guess I'd been the only one to see the shooting from upstairs. Dude number one saw me and crawled towards me. He crawled towards me, of all people, me. He leaned on my leg. I'm tired, he said. I kept him awake. I told him, now's not a good time to sleep. In good old Jamal fashion. I pulled out my cell phone and dialed 911 while dude number one left blood on my jeans. Wasn't my blood this time, though. I would find out later that I was the first caller to 911. As he lay bleeding on my leg from his gut, I thought about the day he and his buddy humiliated me in the streets by double teaming me while I was drunk. We weren't united as black people that night. They didn't care about my well-being at all, yet here I was, the only one trying to keep this man alive in his moment of need. For weeks afterwards, the cops hounded me, trying to make me into an informant because I was the first call. Dude number one spent a couple months in the hospital. The shooting really screwed him up with his kidneys and his bladder. It was a life change for him. It was a life change for me, too. He could have died if I didn't call the police when I did. How ironic, huh? How ironic that he couldn't make me walk up the steps that night. This time after he got shot, he didn't want me to walk up the steps that night because he needed me. He needed me to feel unified with him at the time. He needed me to care for his own sake. He needed me to give him the kind of caring that he couldn't give me to just walk down the street peacefully 15 years earlier. Incidentally, I've run into dude number two within the last 8 years a few times in the streets of Harlem, uptown. When he last saw me, he ran up to me like we were old friends. And I just smiled and shook his hand as if I forgot. But how do you forget things like that? I used to wonder a lot if they forgot what happened that night. So when dude number one left the hospital and I saw him in the street again, he did actually thank me. He thanked me. He was classy enough to do that. When he left the hospital, I saw him in the street again. He thanked me. When he did, I pulled him aside and I asked him, hey, man, do you remember jumping me like 15 years ago right at the top of the block? I didn't really want to relive that situation again, but I had to know what he would say. I couldn't die without knowing what he would say. So I asked, and he looked at me and he said, yeah, I remember. And that was it. That was all he said. We parted ways and we never spoke of the incident again. But in a way, I feel like we were in unity with the belief did I deserve the great amount of respect because I chose to try to help save his life instead of end it? Regardless of our history, despite our history, I can't answer for who he is or things he's done, but I can answer for who I am. My point is, and I've said this before, everybody gets what's coming to them in the end. And you guys have a break coming right now because I need a break to gear up for our last segment. You will like it almost as much as you like this song I'm about to play. This song is called Side Piece. It's by my brother Ty Bless, the man who called me. Why don't you meet me on the other side piece? How about that? Hit me, Bishop.
You told me that you all done. Now it's fuck me. Now you're all up in the Samsung. Got me tipsy. You get me when I'm on one. You kiss me. Say you miss me. It's been so long. You got me feeling like I'm on the side. You say you love me, but we gotta hide. Won't tell the world about how you feel inside. You got me feeling like a side piece. You got me feeling like a side piece. How could you fuck me and you drive me? You got me feeling like a side piece. Like a side piece.
Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why.
Let me ask you a question. 2 days ago I said I miss you. 2 days ago you let me kiss you. To find out I'm not the only girl with you. Please explain to me, baby, how I gave the impression that I was an option. You must be confused. I'm not a toy to be used. I am not the one to cross. I am not the one you bag in the club just to toss. I am in it for the ride, not to be pushed to the side. Once you're satisfied, you gotta go. All up in my feelings, shit's out of control. Got me feeling like
a side piece. Oh. You got me feeling like a side piece.
One for the side.
How could you fuck me, then you drive me?
Side.
You got me feeling like a side piece. Like a side piece.
Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why. Tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, tell me why, why, why.
You got me feeling like I'm on the side. You say you love me, but we gotta hide. Won't tell the world about how you feel inside. You got me feeling like a side piece. You got me feeling like a side piece. How could you? Side piece, like a side piece.
Perfect timing. Hello again, my friends. That song was Side Piece with Ty Bless, with a lot of adult material in it. And he was joined by singer Tyena. She's got some pretty good freestyle records out, so go look her up. I kind of like some of her stuff. It's my honor to welcome you back to the legendary Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. If you want to be a sponsor like LettuceAvail.com, contact us at JamalShowRadio@gmail.com. We can be bought. You know how people say, I can't be bought. No, no, no. We can be bought here. Ask the bishop. And we are the real deal, too. There are a few fake Jamal Shows out there, but you can tell the original because of our trademark, the place to get intelligent. So please remember that. And back to business. You all know that I'm originally from Harlem. But then New York City's rent got too damn high, and so now I'm here in Connecticut on an extended vacation, and I'm causing an insurrection at radio stations along with the bishop, and today I'm talking to you about unity. That's the word I keep repeating enough to annoy you. Why? Because the feeling of being part of something bigger than yourself is enticing to humans. It's the reason we travel in groups along with safety. It's so powerful, in fact, that panhandlers use it. You ever have a panhandler come up to you aggressively? They call you brother despite having never met you. They'll tell you that they have a military background. All of this is an attempt to make you feel a certain sense of unity with them despite never having met them. In fact, any salesman or saleswoman can increase their sales by convincing their prospective customers that they're all on the same team. I'm on your side. You're going to IKEA to buy furniture, or you're going to Bob's, or wherever you might go. First thing they make you feel like is they're on your team. Like, oh, let me stand on your side. Yeah, you should pick that. That garners a certain amount of credibility with you. It helps them sell. As an attorney, I stress that to my clients all the time because I need their trust. And they won't give it to me unless I make them feel I am in unity with them, with the same goal in mind. If my goal is to get them in more trouble with law enforcement, then they would likely not be unified with me. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that it makes no sense to be unified with those who wish to destroy you. Maybe you didn't hear that, so let me say it again. What I'm trying to say is that it makes no sense to be unified with those who wish to destroy you. You can't be. We actually have to agree to an agenda. We have to agree to share goals on some issue before we can unite. And just going away is not a request that I can entertain Trump supporters with. You know, if you're carrying a Confederate flag, chances are me and the bishop might have a hard time unifying with you. I'm just guessing. I'm going to speak for the bishop on this. After the show, he might have to correct me and be like, oh, no, I'm fine with a Confederate flag. But I'm just going to assume. He's shaking his head. I'm just going to assume that he doesn't like Confederate flags. Deborah might like Confederate flags, but I'm going to speak for her and say that since he's an executive on this show, she probably wouldn't be unified with you if you had a Confederate flag. I can't be unified with people who carry Confederate flags through the Capitol that I also pay for. Now, I'm running out of time, and I usually leave you with a pertinent quote at the end of every new broadcast to give you all a reason to listen to the end. But today I want to leave the last word to a man who has a last name that describes him well. Capitol Officer Eugene Goodman is a good man indeed. He was just awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor yesterday. Okay? This strong man of color, a good representative of folks of color in the Capitol, was featured in hundreds of videos protecting members of Congress. You saw him. I remember I saw him running up the steps with those guys chasing him. It's a very famous video. When I first saw that, I was like, what a coward. Why is this guy running? Go down fighting, man, just like Officer Sicknick. But no. See, that's because I'm an untrained fool. You know, I'm not a security guard. I've never been trained. So that's what I would have did, and I would have went down probably, you know. But he was smarter than me. Yeah, he used his noggin. He said, let me run these guys upstairs and direct them to where I want to go. Very, very intelligent. He kept his cool. He didn't yell. And he ran. Every video, you see him running around the Capitol trying to save people, trying to help Mitt Romney here and there. So yesterday, you should see this video, actually. You know, he protected members of Congress, and he put his own life on the line. I want to play the audio of Congress thanking Officer Goodman and the applause that both parties gave in unity. Both parties gave him applause in unity yesterday, a standing ovation for 5 whole minutes to Officer Goodman, a good man, a black man, for his heroic deeds that he performed on January 6, 2021. Congratulations on the Congressional Medal of Freedom, Officer Eugene Goodman. I hope to meet him one day. He is indeed a good man and a black man. That's all we have for our broadcast today. I love you all. I'll see you in 2 weeks, but let me go out playing this. After you hear the applause for a while, go ahead and go into the ending song. All right? This is Officer Goodman, him being honored yesterday.
I will ask the Senate to pass legislation that would award Capitol Police Officer Eugene Goodman the Congressional Gold Medal. In the weeks after the attack on January the 6th, the world learned about the incredible, incredible bravery of Officer Goodman on that fateful day. Here in this trial, We saw a new video, powerful video, showing calmness under pressure, his courage in the line of duty, his foresight in the midst of chaos, and his willingness to make himself a target of the mob's rage so that others might reach safety. Officer Goodman is in the chamber tonight. Officer Goodman, thank you.
So bring it down. Bring the music.
This is the Jamal Show.
Down in.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal Zero.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.